Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Saxton. Thank you so much today for joining me with Faith Alive, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight. And this 15-minute empowerment, this segment, we're going to be encouraging the Word of God, encouraging our process of there, encouraging our staying of faith, and even how we are going and proclaiming the Word of God through our witness every single day. We have been studying in the Bible, unlike we placed the blessing in the last month, and we're going to continue to study these places. We started off in the book of Esther, looking at how she was blessed in an unlikely place, an unlikely position, being in exile, but her blessing was set up by God. He allowed that place to be the place where he exalted her in rulership, blessed her cousin, and also he also rescued the nation of Israel. We also saw that how God used the unlikely place in the life of Joseph, and he blessed him in a position that he never would have received as a slave. But God sent him ahead of time, sent him ahead of the problem, that he might be the answer and the solution, not only for the Egyptian nation, but also to own nation and save many lives. So we see that God can use unlikely places to bless you, to exalt you, to establish you, to promote you, even to bring glory to his name and save many lives. We're going to go back to the book of Genesis again and continue in our study with Jacob, dealing with an unlikely character issue, an issue where there's a character change, but the process that he goes through. We're going to pick back up with Genesis 28. And as we go to Genesis 28, we're seeing here that Jacob has, he's in Haran. He's left his father's house, his mother's house, with a blessing because his brother Esau is desiring and plotting to kill him after his father's death. So he's left, and he's now in Haran. And it's night, and the sun is set, and he uses a stone to rest his head on and to go to sleep. But when he goes to sleep, this is where God visits him in a dream. God takes the time to talk to him in a dream about where he's going. Because you have to understand, this place that he's in, he's left the familiar. He's left his father's house. He's left everything that he's known. And he's walking now in a place and a position that he has not never known, and he doesn't know what his fate will be. So we see that even in this, that God will show up in our night season to speak to us about our future. No matter where you are, no matter what's going on in your life, when you're in that night season, in that place where you don't know what to do, God is going to show up and he's going to speak to you through his word, through his spirit, whether it's in a dream, whether it's prophetically, whether it's in his word. He's going to speak to you so that you will know what your future is, where you're going, where you're headed. When you're in a place that's unfamiliar and you don't know what to do, God is going to show up and be God in and over your life. The stone, I believe, represents Christ. It represents the head of his life and the head of the church, the chief cornerstone, the foundation of which God was going to has founded, and it's founded the nation of Israel on, but also for the Gentiles who will come through Jesus Christ once he dies on the cross and he's raised from the dead. God identifies himself to Jacob, and he says to him that he is the God of Abraham and Isaac. And later we know that he will become the God and will be known as the God of Jacob as well. We see this in Exodus 3 and 15. Isaac spoke to Jacob with a heart that would basically say that he would inherit the land. God comes back and he promises that he would inherit the land, that Jacob would inherit the land. So even though his father speaks to him about the land, God comes back and he gives the guarantee about what he said. And there are some things that God will speak to you that is a guarantee that someone else may have come and spoken it, but God will come back and reconfirm it, and he will guarantee that this is what his will is.
especially if you hear a word over and over again. The Bible lets us understand that once has he spoken twice, has we heard that power belongs to God. When God speaks a thing and he establishes it more than one time, it is certain, it is secure. He has settled it, it's established. This thing is going to happen in your life. So if you're hearing a word concerning your life and you keep hearing the same thing, God is letting you know, even though you're going through a night season or it looks like things are not happening in your life the way that he said, this word has been established and it's going to surely come to pass in your life. God basically ratifies Isaac's blessing over Jacob's descendants. And every time God repeats the covenant, he promises, this promise is renewed. He's renewing something. And we said, anytime God speaks something to you, he's renewing that thing in your life. He's renewing that covenant in your spirit. And he's letting you know that this is going to happen. It's going to show up in your life. God repeats the promise to show mercy to all of the people through Abraham's descendants. It lets them know that every one of them, even though they're going to be in the line of Abraham, they're going to need the mercy of God. They're going to need the mercy of God through their going, through their coming, through their falling, through their getting up, through everything that they're going to need the mercy of God. And we need that mercy of God. We need the grace of God in our life every single day. We understand that God's mercy endures forever, and we need that eternal mercy to be in our lives. Jacob's sons will be the seed, the nation of Israel. But they will be the seeds with an S. They will be the seeds that will develop into the nation. But God is going to send the seed, which is Jesus, who's going to redeem mankind from their sin. So he is the seed that will bring all that God has promised together. God reminds Jacob that he will be with him right when Jacob was running away from the consequences of his defeat and his lies. Sometimes God has got to come in and show us who he is and remind us that he's with us, even in our failures, even in the places that we've missed the mark. He's got to come in and remind us that he's not going to leave us, he's not going to forsake us, that even in our mess ups, he's able to bring us out, that he's our way of escape, that he's able to change us, and he's able to bring about something that we cannot bring in ourselves. So that is a reminder to let us know that God is faithful over his word. Even in our failure, God is still faithful to do what he promises. God's merciful. He's mercifully chosen Jacob, and he's chosen him and reaffirming his promise to him. And I love that, because God has to do that sometimes. It's not even the fact that we've failed. It's that we look at ourselves and we see ourselves in a light that is not like God's. And we have to agree with the word and the will of God concerning us. God does not see us as we see ourselves. He does not see us as failures and mess-ups and mishaps and those who can't get it right. He sees the finished product. He sees what we shall be. So when he speaks to us, he's speaking to us, calling us to the place of what he sees. He's calling us to what he's already established, what has already been accomplished, that we're going to. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we're going to be like him. So when he speaks, he reaffirms promise. He reaffirms the faith. He reaffirms his word to us to let us know that he cannot lie or fail us. And what he said, as long as we stay connected to him and do what he said, it's going to manifest in our lives. So God will remind us over again. He will tell us, I'm with you, I'm for you. Because you will go through seasons in your life that are scary. You will go through things in your life that are very, very, very hard. And you need to know that God is with you, because now Jacob's family is not around. His mother's not there. His father's not there. His brother's not there. The familiar people that he's known all of his life, that has been his security, are not there. And it's him walking alone. And there are times in your life that you won't have people around you. Even some friends that you thought would be there will not be there. And sometimes it's not that they are there, that you guys have grown apart. It's just that God has separated you for a season that he might shape you, talk to you, stretch you, pour into you, show you some things, grow you up, mature you, so that when you see that individual again, your relationship will still be intact. If it's the one that God says is going to be in a relationship that's going to walk you through, but it's going to be different because you've grown, they've grown. God's done something in both of you if you have allowed him to. So we see that everything that's familiar around Jacob has now been removed, and it's now him and God. And he has to believe and depend on the word that God spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and now him, that God is going to do what he says, that he's with him, that he's going to stay there, and that every promise that he's given him is going to come to pass. Jacob is in no position to earn God's favor, but God still promises to be with him. There's nothing that Jacob could do to earn God's favor. There's nothing that you and I can do to earn God's favor. His unmerited favor has been given to us because he's God. He is God, and he promised to give it to us because we belong to him. So we have to trust that God himself would do everything that he said. God was with him, and God promised to bring him back to the land of his father, of his grandfather. God promised to do that. So Jacob was depending on that. Jacob was afraid, and he was in a fear. He was afraid when God spoke to him, after God spoke to him. But this fear that he was having was not a fear of dread. It was a fear of awe and reverence unto God. He was standing in awe of God's power, the awesomeness of God that spoke to him, that revealed himself to him. That's what he was in fear of. He was reverenced God in this place. Even though he was fearing some things about his life, after God spoke to him, there was a reverence over him about God and who he was, because God revealed himself personally to Jacob. It was no longer what he heard about his grandfather's testimony or what his father said. It was now his personal revelation. And God will always reveal himself to you when you need it the most. He will always make a personal impartation in your life to let you know that he's with you and he's for you, and that his will for your life is going to be done. So no matter what you're facing, expect God to show up. Expect God to speak to you, and you have an ear to hear what he's saying. You will receive what he's saying to you, and know that what he's taking you and what he's doing in your life is going to be only what he says, regardless of the circumstances or what's happening. It's only going to turn out and work for your good, because God knows the path that you take. He knows where he's taking you. He knows what he's doing in your life. And when he knows what he's doing in your life, because he knows the end from the beginning, then everything in your life is going to work for good, even the places that you don't understand how God is going to change it, how he's going to turn it around. It's going to work for your good, because God has spoken something, and he cannot lie and he cannot fail. Jacob is here, and he's in reverence of God. He's standing in awe of God because God has spoken to him, and he's basically allowed him to stand in wonder of God and in this place of worship. He understands that heaven, when he starts to speak about heaven coming down, he's talking about God himself coming down and speaking to him. God himself coming down to earth and speaking to him. The stone that he had slept on becomes the stone that after he builds the altar that he's going to place up there, and it's going to be an altar that he's going to build unto God. He commemorates that great event. He sets that stone up there at the end of it, and he pours oil on top of it to consecrate it for God, unto God. He pours the oil up there to consecrate this place to God. Jacob later would refer to this place as that when God spoke to him as the God of stone, the God of a stone, of the God of Israel, who's the stone. And we see this in Genesis 49 and 24. He refers to God as the stone of Israel, the stone of Israel. And we understand that God was using that to let him understand that he would be the stone of the church. He will be the stone of that nation. He will be the stone that will bring in many people, because he's the one that pays the price. And as we understand that there are times and places in our lives that require a sacrificial offering of worship. And that's what Jacob did. He gave God a sacrificial worship. He gave him a sacrificial offering, and he built an altar for the Lord. And there are times in our life that God will do something so wonderful, so miraculous. He will speak to us, say something, reveal something, or show himself strong in such a way that we cannot rush our worship. We've got to give him a sacrificial worship of just trust, of just goodness unto him, just thankfulness unto him, telling him how much we love him and adore him. So we have to take that time, and we cannot be rushed in that, knowing that God is faithful to do everything that he promises. No matter where you find yourself in, understand you can always build an altar of worship unto the Lord and watch him be God in your life. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Faith for Life, for this 15 minutes of empowerment. I pray that you've been encouraged in your walk of faith and that you know that no matter where you find yourself, what you're going through, even though it seems like you're alone, God is with you and he's for you. He's spoken a word concerning your life and it's got to come to pass. Build that altar of worship. Build that place where you can invite God in. He can give you more understanding, more revelation, more security with his presence, and let you know that he's going to bring those things to pass. Have a blessed day, and we'll be back again tomorrow for 15 minutes of empowerment.